In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and God, Amen. As you noticed, we celebrate the feasts of the Annunciation and the Christmas and the Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even, or although tomorrow is Sunday, but because we have already in the month of Abib, the blessed month of Abib, we had already four weeks. So the fifth week, if it comes on the 29th, it comes either on the 29th or the 30th. If it comes on the 30th, then we read the fifth Sunday of the month. There is a special readings about the feeding of the multitudes, the five loaves and two fish, because we consider it blessed month because we have five Sundays. But if it comes on the 29th, of the month, then we read the readings of the 29th of Barahmat. The 29th of Barahmat is the readings of the Annunciation. And actually, on the 29th of Barahmat, two main events happen. Number one, the angel Gabriel announced the birth of or the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And second one is the resurrection. On the year 34 after Christ, exactly, the Lord ascended, resurrected on the 29th of the month. And also on the 29th of Kiyak, at the incarnation of the birth of our Lord, the Christmas. And I want to ask you a question, which is very important first, because we are, the Lord said, when two or three assembled in my name, I will be among them. We are four. So more than two and three. So he is among us and he is between us. I have a question after I read two verses from the Old Testament, from the book of Isaiah. From the book of Isaiah, chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, said, "Therefore, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." In chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The question: why did the Lord insist to be born over time. مين جنبنا؟ إذا كنت هتحرق كنت هتحرق شوية وتمشي خليك هتحرق معانا، تعالى قدام. إحنا كده بقينا خمسة. Why did the Lord choose to be born of a virgin? And without man. Why? Yeah, there is, Yeah, related to that. Yeah, exactly, Paul. You understand what did he say? When we come to the beginning, when you go back to the beginning, we find that Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed the commandment of the Lord, they were exiled from the paradise of death, from the paradise of joy. But another thing which is very important. What? They knew the good and bad. Now what happened that the Lord warned them before, saying, from all the fruits of the garden you can eat except the tree in the midst of the garden. When you eat of it, you will die. Right? Was this punishment or warning? When the Lord said to them, when you eat, you will die. Was this punishment or warning? Warning, yeah? It was warning. It wasn't punishment. It's as if you say to any student, if you do not study, you will fail. Is it warning or punishment? Warning. As a normal result of the disobeying of the Lord when they ate of the forbidden fruit, as a normal result, they knew the bad and good, and hence they came under death. So the Lord did not find any other alternative than to let them be out of the garden so as not to eat from the tree of life and live in under sin forever. That's why he put them out of the Garden of Eden and put an angel with sword of fire to guard the tree of life, to prevent Adam and Eve from eating and live sinning or under sin forever. You understand me? When the fullness of time came, Taman, we know that the Lord, after the sin, he spoke to everyone about his sin or about the result of his sin. And he said to the woman, I will put enmity between you and the woman, to the serpent, sorry, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So the enmity was not only between Adam and the serpent, or Eve and the serpent, but it extended to the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. So the enmity now was the result of our sin, not the punishment of our Lord. Although he said, I will put here enmity, means I announced to you what I said to you and warned you before you fell in sin, that this would happen. But he gave the woman a good hope. He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your heel. عارفين الهيد اللي هو الايه؟ This is the heel. Heel. عقبه. And you shall bruise his heel. What does it mean? It means that the enmity between the serpent and the woman extended to the seed of the serpent, Satan, and the human being. But here a very important question. Why did he say, I will put enmity between you and the woman, not between you and the man? Normally we say the seed of the man or the seed of the woman. Why the seed of the woman? The only one who was meant by this verse is Jesus Christ, who was the son of the woman, who is the father, is not human. You understand this point? Shankida El, when the fullness of time came, the Lord said, his son, born of a woman, of a virgin. لما جاء ملء الزمان أرسل الله ابنه مولودا من امرأة. Born of a woman. Back to the point which Paul said, why woman without man? So as not to inherit the original sin. عشان ما يورثش الخطية الجدية. Everyone inherited the original sin except our Lord Jesus Christ. When he was incarnate, he was incarnate, the seed came from the Holy Spirit, mysteriously, we don't know how. But the sperm came from the Holy Spirit, not from a man. That's why the angel said to Mary in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, when she said to him, how come that I conceive while I don't know a man? He said to her, sorry, chapter 2, not chapter 1. Chapter 1. chapter 1, sorry. Chapter 1, verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Okay? "And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Holy One. He was born holy. He was born holy without the original sin. He was born on the same likeness and image of first Adam before he fell in sin. That's why we call him من شاطر يقول بقى اللي انا عايز اقوله. Therefore we call him Bravo. Second Adam. He is the only one that we call him Second Adam. First Adam was created without the original sin, and he brought the sin to himself through disobedience by eating of the forbidden tree. Jesus Christ came without the original sin. Halwadi? Is it clear, Paul? This is very clear. That's why he was called the Son of God before his birth. And he was described holy before she conceived with him. When the Mother of God accepted the annunciation of the angel, immediately the Holy Spirit came upon her on the same day. And this happened on the 29th of Ramadan. Count 9 months, you reach 29th of Kiyak. Between 29th of Ramadan, the same day of Annunciation, the incarnation started in the pure womb of the Mother of God for completely, perfectly 9 months. On the 29th of Kiyak, she delivered our Lord Jesus Christ. مفهومة دي أمينة؟ حلوة دي هم أول. That's why the Lord insisted to be born of a virgin. It wasn't a miracle, because any miracle must happen before the people to marvel and to believe. Like all the signs and wonders and miracles that the Lord and even his disciples performed. And up till now, we call the miraculous Marimina, Marimina al-Agaibi, and Pope Kyrillus VI, and many others who used to perform miracles. Right? This is number one. He was born of a virgin. Why? So as not to inherit the original sin. Why? What is the use of that? Simply, the wage of sin is death. أجرة الخطية موت. So I brought to myself the wage of sin, which is death. Now, the mercy of God is as the size of God. Mercy of God equal size of God. What is the size of God? What is the size of God? 36, 40, 44. What is the size of God? Unlimited. The mercy of God is unlimited. The just of God equal the size of God. what is the size of just of God? Unlimited. His love is unlimited, and his just is unlimited. If he says that the wage of sin is death, death must happen to the human being. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ came born of a virgin, avoiding the original sin. And he said, who out of you can rebuke me on a sin? Everyone was born carrying the original sin, except Jesus Christ. Then everyone must die, except Jesus Christ. Because he was perfect without sin. But he willingly agreed to carry the wage of my sin, which is death. That's why he went to the cross willingly. He died willingly. Because no one could impose him or force him on death. But he died willingly. And when St. Peter, the disciple who confessed him before, and he said to him, blessed are you, Peter of Jonah, you are rock, and on this rock, the rock of faith, I will build my church. On the same, in the same chapter, he said to him, go out of me, Satan. When Peter said to him, how come that you said that you will be arrested and persecuted and crucified and then you resurrect? No one can do that to you. We are here, we'll defend you. He said, go out, Satan. It wasn't the voice of Peter. The Lord considered the voice of Satan, who wanted to let him escape from paying the price of my sin. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ was born of a virgin without sin. He himself, who was born without sin, became sin for us. الذي بلا خطية صار خطية لأجلنا. This who was without sin became sin for our sakes. This is the meaning. That's why Jesus Christ was said about him in the Bible. He likened us in everything except the sin itself. Then when he died on the cross, normally Satan tried to come and take his soul. When he cried out saying, Father, in your hand I deliver my spirit. His spirit did not go to the Hades, arrested with the previous souls from Adam until the cross. Why? Because simply he was without sin. He was not supposed to die. But when he accepted the death willingly, he trampled on death by his death. Bilmaut, dasalmaut. This is what we sing in the Pentecost. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He stepped on the death, or trampled on the death through death. And those who believed in him granted them the eternal life. مسيح قام من الأموات بالموت دس الموت. Those who were in the tombs, he granted them the eternal life.
What happened on that? When he died on the cross and delivered his soul into the hands of the Father, he performed the salvation. He paid to satisfy the just of God. He paid on the cross my price, which is death. Then he gave me in return his life. He went to the Hades, as we say in the liturgy. He descended into Hades through the cross. What happened when he descended into Hades? And in spite of to be prison or arrested or kept, he freed all the souls with him. He took them from the Hades to the paradise of joy. When he was coming out, he met who? The soul of whom? He met a special soul on that day. Whose soul was that? Think a little bit. There was a special person promised by Jesus Christ to go on the same day, the right thief, because he delivered his soul before the thieves. When they came, when sunset came, it was Friday and Sabbath was coming, and they wanted to put down all the bodies from the crosses. They found Jesus already died, and the man speared him with the spear, and he found blood and water came, which means that he died. But they broke the bones of the other two thieves because they were still alive. Until the Lord went to the Hades and preached, as the son of Saint Paul, he preached, Saint Peter, he preached the spirits in the prison. He meant he preached the souls who were waiting for him in the Hades, that he is Jesus Christ. He preached to them, freedom! I give you freedom! I freed you through my body, through my salvation. Come. When he was going up, out, he found the soul of the right thief, Demas. And he took him, all together with the others, to the paradise of joy. Yes. Yep. He went to Hades. All the people, even the righteous people, all of them. The paradise of joy was not opened until the cross. Either to Hades or to paradise of joy. In the New Testament, after Jesus Christ, we go, God willing, to the paradise of joy. We don't go, God forbid, to Hades. Hopefully, every one of us will go to the paradise of joy. Huh? There is no intermediate. There is nothing in the middle. Sometimes they say this is the sleeping. The sleeping means the separation between the spirit and body. The body is buried in the ground. The spirit is kept in the paradise of joy. And the or Hades. When the Lord comes on the second day, those who are in the paradise of joy will go to the kingdom of heavens. And those who are in Hades will go to hell, to the eternal fire, where Iblis, Satan, and all his soldiers are kept forever. So the paradise of joy and the Hades are awaiting places or cases until the end of ages, when the Lord come as judge to give each one according to his deeds. Those who are in the paradise of joy will go to the heavenly Jerusalem. Those who are in Hades will go to the hell. Yeah, you understand now? It's very important. And I try to explain the idea of incarnation and salvation and resurrection and ascension. Just one point I will conclude, but after your question. Yeah. We know that the paradise not the paradise. The paradise of joy is the awaiting place for the good people. And the kingdom of heaven is the eternal place eternally after the second coming of Jesus. But after the resurrection, only the paradise of joy. That's why when the right thief said to him, "Remember me, O Lord, when you come into your kingdom," he corrected it to him, saying, "Today you will be with me in the not the kingdom." Yes? Not the kingdom. The paradise is not as the kingdom. The paradise is the place in which the spirits of the good people are awaiting for the second coming of Jesus Christ to finish the world and to open heaven and earth. Okay? Now, I will conclude this and come back to a certain point to explain what is the difference between the paradise of joy and the kingdom of heaven. After the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is very important. What is the meaning of ascension of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ is the incarnate God, divinity and the humanity. There is no separation between the divinity and the humanity, right? We cannot separate. Here is the divinity of Jesus Christ. The divinity of Jesus Christ. Sorry, here is the humanity of Jesus Christ. The humanity of Jesus Christ is limited, right? It's like my nature, limited. But the divinity is unlimited. So when I say that he ascended into heavens, I mean that he took my body and put it into heavens. Because he is already in heavens. By his divinity is in heavens. And the body that he took from the mother of God, as we said, without sin, now after giving it the power of resurrection, he ascended into heavens. He put my body into heavens. So he became the firstborn, the first one to enter with my body in the kingdom of heavens. Every one of us will take the same body of resurrection. And here is the main difference between paradise and kingdom. In the paradise, only spirits. But in the kingdom of heavens, the bodies which are buried in the heavens will put on the same spirits which are in the paradise, to take what we call glorified bodies, al-jasad al-mumaggad, not only spirit, but glorified body, which will live forever in the kingdom of heaven. Now, we take the benefits of the cross through the seven sacraments. Through the seven sacraments. And the Holy Spirit who came upon the Mother of God to give her the incarnate God Jesus Christ comes upon us and gives us the power of resurrection in the baptism, the new nature. We are buried with the Lord in the water of baptism, exactly like the 3 days in the tomb, and we resurrect from the water on the third time when the priest says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I get the new nature. I get the nature which can conquer Satan, which can hereby the seed will the seed of the woman after Jesus Christ, every one of us will crush the head of the serpent. We can, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, through the baptism, through the confirmation, through the confession, through the Holy Communion, we can conquer the power of Satan through the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, or when we go to him, whatever happens first, either he comes or we go, then when we go, keeping the power of resurrection in our life, then we will inherit the kingdom of heaven later. That's why the church always is open to give me on the table of the Lord his body, resurrected body, and his life-giving blood to renew the power of resurrection me as much as we can. This is the story of salvation, and without it, no one will enter the kingdom of heaven. That's why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, unless man is born of water and spirit, he will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. Any question? I know that it was a little bit long, but this is the main meaning of the incarnation, resurrection, and ascension into heaven. Incarnation here, birth of Jesus Christ, and resurrection, and ascension to heaven. And now we talk of the benefits of salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the church insists to celebrate 10 times every year, 10 times on the 29th of every month, the Annunciation, the Christmas, and the resurrection of our Lord. Except 2 months, 2 times, Tuba and Amshir. Why Tuba and Amshir? Because they come between the Epiphany and Easter. And in this time, mostly we are fasting the Great Lent. Exception, but Tuba and Amshir. 29th of Tuba and 29th of Amshir, we do not celebrate this. The small month, Nasi, yeah. Yeah, because you know, it's a good point. The Coptic year is 13 months, not 12 months. So he counted the 5 days or 6 days. Very accurate. Any question? Yeah. We don't know. No. He said no one knows. When does he come? Midnight? The tasbih here means that we want to be awake even during the darkness. The midnight here is a symbol of the darkness of the life, because it's very dark at midnight. But exactly the coming of our Lord, we don't know. No one knows. Evening, midnight, or at the rooster, siyah al-deek, even on the morning, no one knows. The exact time of his coming, no one knows. Yes. Paradise of joy, what? Yeah. But in the paradise of joy, we are joy. There is joy in the paradise of joy. That's why it's called, it's exactly like the result in the control. It's not announcement yet, but it is known. You know that you are one of the 10 tops of the high school. But it is not announced officially. But you know your position. It's the same. In the paradise of joy, everyone of us knows his result. But he's awaiting. And you read it in the Revelation book. When some of the souls who were under the altar, he said to them, until what time you will not revenge from those who are and the whole world who persecuted us? And it is said they were giving white clothes, new clothes, and they asked to await for the companions who will come and complete. This church we call the victorious church or the awaiting church in the paradise. And we are the striving church on earth. We strive, we struggle, but they had victory, but still awaiting for us. When all of us become one church, one sheep to one shepherd, then he will come. And at the day when he comes, the spirits will have the bodies to have a new nature fitting the eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. Please keep this nature. Please keep your vestment pure, white. Keep yourself ready. When he comes, he finds you ready and come and say, blessed are you, blessed of my Father, come with me into the paradise. Any question? Any other question? Okay. Let us